Christmas music. You guys ready for Christmas music? Love that. Yeah. Charleston, you guys ready for some Christmas music? Question is this. Was that the first song that you've sung Christmas-wise in a group? Now, I know some of you closet Christmas singers, like right after Halloween, started singing some Christmas songs, but it's here. It's December 1st, and we're going to be singing Christmas songs and diving into even the themes of some of these songs all throughout December, and then we're going to just open the doors wide open December 21st and 22nd for massive Christmas services. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But six services on that weekend that we want you to be a part of. And we do reserve some seats for that and tickets for that. So I know you heard that maybe on the video announcements, but with six services across Mattoon and Charleston, the tickets are absolutely free. But we want to make sure that you, when you pick a service to attend, that there is a seat for you. And some services fill up quickly. So you can go online right now. They're available online. Well, you could right now if you want to, but later today too. But you can go on and reserve and start thinking through that my grandma always comes. I'm going to invite my neighbor and I'm going to invite those coworkers and I need 5 tickets. I need 8 tickets or whatever you need. And you can look at those 6 services between Saturday and Sunday and decide which one that you would like to attend. And so it's going to be great. Also, I want to just share that next week, just the official kickoff of Christmas at the Field sometimes is the ladies' Christmas party and the Christmas dinner. And amazingly, we have over 350 ladies going to the Christmas dinner across Mattoon and Charleston, which is like a 52% increase. Like, you guys, if you're going, I just want to say thank you for going. Thank you for inviting someone else, probably buying a ticket for them and inviting them to a table. It's going to be a great night. To be honest, Charleston, listen, we had a conversation of very first year that we've had our location in Charleston going. What would be a good number of ladies to go to Charleston? What would be the best venue? And sitting around the table, we thought, you know what, if 50 ladies got together for the very first time, that would be incredible. Over 100 ladies in Charleston are going to the ladies' Christmas, and then another 100 or 250 here in Mattoon. Okay, it's amazing. It's amazing what you guys are doing. There's a handful of tickets left until both locations are completely packed out and booked out. So awesome. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. It's going to be such a wonderful night that I might try to sneak in if they let me through the door. We'll see. We'll see. So the current series that we're in is just Christmas at the Fields every Sunday in December. We really work hard at just making sure that you could invite a friend and family, because it's going to have a touch of Christmas. We're going to be singing Christmas songs, and we're going to be diving into some of the lyrics of those songs. And so this particular song that we just sang is Silent Night. And the Silent Night was written in 1818 in a small village church in Austria. And I've been to Austria before. In fact, myself and Pastor Evan and my father-in-law, Van, we were doing some missions work about 15 years ago in Slovakia. And the only easy way to get to Slovakia is you fly into Vienna, Austria, and then you take a bus into Slovakia, or you can take a train into Slovakia. So on our way home, we spent a day in Austria before we had to fly home. And one of the things, it was kind of a late November, early December trip. And when we were there, there was this Christmas market that was open, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And little did we know, because we were just kind of doing a quick little sightseeing of the day of all the different places in Vienna, Austria. Little did we know that this is like a world-renowned Christmas market. And of all the cool ornaments and everything you could get there that's hand-painted, my absolute favorite thing in this Christmas market was the Christmas sausages. And they were delicious, like delicious. They're called Bitzinger Vienna sausages at these market, and I bought these instead of ornaments, you know, but they didn't, you know, anyway, sorry, Joy, for not bringing home any souvenirs. I ate the souvenir. They were delicious. That's my only connection to Austria, to be honest, is I went to Austria 15 years ago, and I've been waiting 15 years to tell a story like that because, you know, Silent Night was written in Austria. So anyway, back to the story. Silent Night was written by, it was kind of an associate type of pastor who brought it to a church and said, let's sing it, and they put some chords to it. That wasn't in English back then, but let me, in where they wrote it, but let me go over the lyrics one more time. I'm not going to sing them, and you're going to be appreciative of that, because I don't, you know, you don't want that. But silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. And when you think about that, it is kind of that quieter Christmas song, and it kind of like soothes the soul. And you think about heavenly peace and all is calm. To be honest, sometimes that just does not define December. Like, it's December 1st, and you probably have a to-do list, and if you're like me, December typically is not calm, it's not peaceful, it can be crazy busy, and then some people, even during the holiday season, they struggle in the holiday season. I get that. Like, it can be very emotional. This will be the very first Christmas without my folks, without my mom and my dad. And my dad's birthday was on Christmas Eve. And so for years, we just celebrated my dad's birthday and got all the family together. And Christmas Eve and Christmas was always just this big festive time around the holidays. And this will be our first year without that and without my parents. And just trying to think like the calm and the peace. And then for some of you, it's just stressful, because your work schedule and work meetings and work parties and all the things. And sometimes there can be financial stress. We're supposed to buy this person a gift and this person a gift, and I didn't save enough money in the Christmas budget. And then the kids come home from school and we have to buy another gift at a party. And the next thing you know, it's like, I got to buy this. And it can get financially stressful. It can get demanding. It can be frustrating. And the next thing you know, not everything is all calm, and there's not a lot of heavenly peace during the holidays. And let me say this, though, that peace doesn't have to be silent at Christmas. It doesn't have to be missing. It doesn't have to be silent. It can be bold and strong in your life. It can be available in your life. The peace of God in your life. And 2,700 years ago, it's a long time ago, it's very hard for us to even fathom that, 700 years before Jesus was born, let me put it in that kind of perspective, 700 years before Jesus was born, there was this man named Isaiah. As a man of God, he's this prophet, and he's begin to speak into humanity and say, it's going to get better. Life isn't great right now, but it's going to get better, and he begins to tell about the birth of a Savior, the birth of a Messiah, the birth of a rescuer, the birth of hope, the birth of someone that's going to change the situation on the planet for all of humanity. And I want us to take a look at it. It's in Isaiah, in our Old Testaments, and let's take a look at a couple of the verses here when he starts to talk about this in chapter 9. He says, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. He's telling us, like, this darkness, so it was a dark time. It was a confusing time. It was a frustrating time. There was war. There was emptiness. There was unknown. And Isaiah be able to speak into them and says, this is not going to last forever. The darkness and despair will not go on forever. He goes on to say this. He proclaims this. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. He goes on to say, for those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. He begins to breathe hope into situations that seem dismal, seems dark, seems empty, seems I'm at the end of my road. It seems like things aren't going well right now. He says, those living in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And then a couple verses later, a couple sentences later, he says something that you and I have probably read. It might be on a Christmas card you're going to be mailing out in a few weeks. This is even though it's 2,700 years ago, 700 years before Jesus is born, this is the first telling. This is the big grand announcement through a prophet that you and I have heard year after year after year. I want you to understand the importance of this. He says, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He starts giving him these titles that the Messiah, this child, is going to be born. And yes, he's wonderful, and yes, he's the everlasting, yes, he's mighty. But what I want us to understand, he's also the peace. And that's what the world's missing. A lot of times that's what our life is missing. That's what our calendar is missing. A lot of times that's what we're longing for. He goes on to say this, that the government, his government, the Prince of Peace's government, the authority of the Prince of Peace. Think of it that way. The authority of the Prince of Peace, the government, and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for eternity. So he's saying this is a kingdom issue. This is an eternal issue. This is not a government peace. This isn't a political peace. This isn't a police peace. This isn't a, if we get enough armies, and if we get enough police officers, there's going to be this peace. It's not a geographical peace. If we can just claim our land and we can have peace in this area. The prophet Isaiah is speaking beyond what they could even fathom, because they were looking for governmental peace and a peace that, a geographical peace, and they were looking for that. And he's saying someone is coming that's far greater than just geographical peace, military peace, peace in the protection of your home and a locked door. He's saying this peace lasts for eternity. This peace, his government, his kingdom, is different than what we know in the natural. And that's who's coming. That is the bright light into a dark world. That is who's going to rescue us. So Isaiah proclaims this, and he announces this, and 700 years later, way after Isaiah, 700 years later, then there's the birth of Christ. Jesus is born, and we're going to unpack that story in the next couple weeks and really unpack it a lot on December 21st and 22nd. That's when we're just going to get deep into the beautiful, incredible, supernatural story of Jesus being born and looking at that night and all the events. And you're not going to want to miss that, and you're not going to want to not invite your friends to that. That is the weekend that we will just get deep, deep, deep into the Christmas story of Jesus being born and all of the incredible story around that. But for today, let's back up to why he was born, because God knew that we needed peace. And that human peace only lasts for a season. Like, you can have seasons of calm, but can you have an eternity of calm? Only God can provide an eternity of calm. We can figure out a way to have a season of calm. We can pay the bills enough, and we can get those people to quit calling us, and we can make amends with that family member for a season. And we can create a season of peace. We cannot create eternal peace. It takes the Prince of Peace. And that's an inner peace. That's a peace that can't be manufactured. It can't be worked on. It is a God-given peace. So when we think about his peace, this God-given peace, there's a couple different ways to think about this. Number one would be this, is peace with God. Peace with God is a spiritual peace. Peace with God is the most important of any kind of peace there is, because it affects everything. If you do not have peace with God, then you're doing everything on your own, and you're doing everything separated from him. And if you try to live life away from God, it doesn't matter how much money we make, it doesn't matter what we're doing with our kids, it doesn't matter how often we change the oil in our car or make sure that our tires are good and they're not going to go flat, it doesn't matter how much we work, how hard we work, if we do not have peace with God, we will always be in tension. Spiritual tension will always tug at our soul if we do not have peace with God. And God says, I want to have peace with my kids. He wants to have peace with you. He wants there to be that connection. Paul helps the church in Corinth understand this. He writes this letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, God has done it all. We don't have to do this. He says, God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us, and he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others. He says, listen, he has done it. God doesn't want you to be disconnected from him, so he says, I'm going to send my son Jesus, born in a manger, in that very humble birth that we'll talk about, but he sent Christ to make peace between himself and us. That's what Jesus does. When Jesus comes into the world, the next thing you know, we have peace with God. He is the peacemaker. And he's the one that brings us back together with God so we can have peace with him. If not, we're disconnected. Have you ever had your phone somewhere and you've got the phone in your hand and you have your phone with you, but you don't have signal? You don't have access. You're like, what? I can't get on this person's Wi-Fi. And for whatever reason, I don't have signal. When we were last Christmas, our family went to San Antonio, and we were downtown San Antonio. It was a bowl game, so there was just thousands of people all within the same couple blocks, and it was crazy busy. We had no idea where we were going. We wanted to find a place to eat. I get on my phone, and there is no signal. Now, I don't know what in the world. I don't understand anything about cell towers or anything about cell phones, but I know is if there's a ton of people in a very populated area, sometimes my phone just decides not to work. It's like, no, you're not going to have enough signal. And here we are trying to find something to do and a place to go, and this little thing in my hand is just completely dead to me. Like, it's doing nothing. I can't find anything anywhere, and it's disconnected. And there's no worse feeling than having it in your hand, but there's still no connection. And it's kind of like being in church, but there's just no connection to God. Like, you're the butt's in the seat, but the heart's not connected to God. Like, I go, but I'm not with him. And it's like saying, calling ourselves a Christian, but not really knowing God and not really having peace with him because the connection is missing. And peace is something God is saying, I'm going to help you get connected to me through my son Jesus. It's a connection. Peace with God comes from Christ, who did everything for us. He went to the cross so our sins could be forgiven. He did all the work. All we have to do is receive that gift. We like gifts, right? We like gifts. Christmas time, we love gifts. And God's like, I'll give you the greatest gift ever, my son Jesus. And it's the gift of peace. Peace with God. And then the second kind of peace is peace of God. And the peace of God, that's the peace of God. Like, if you don't have peace with God, then you can never have the peace of God. The peace of God is knowing that God is good and God is in control in all circumstances, in all situations. The peace of God is something that inside of you, internally, your inner being, you are calm because you know God is in control. Paul says this to a church in Colossus in chapter 3. He writes, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Now, this is a big deal. Let the peace that comes from Jesus have authority of your heart. He's the ruler of the way you think. What rules us? What has control of us? Is it fear or is it trust? What rules your heart? There are times what rules our heart is anxiety and stress and the unknown. And Paul says, no, no, no. Let the peace that comes from Jesus rule your heart. Not the boss, not the deadline, not the checkbook. He said, let Jesus, who rules inside of you, rule your heart. And I'm telling you, from society and just looking out, that's what we're missing in society. That's what we're missing. We get so stressed out. We get so worked up over things. We get so anxious. We get so frustrated at people. And what's happening is we're not letting peace rule our hearts. We're letting them rule our hearts. We're letting the circumstance rule our hearts. We're letting the situation. God wants his peace to rule our hearts. In fact, you can find more than 790 verses about peace all throughout Scripture. And so therefore, those with a broken heart, God wants to come in with a comforting peace. And if you have a confused heart, he wants to come in with a guiding peace. He'll guide you to truth. He'll help you understand the situation. If you have a shamed heart because of your past, he has forgiving peace. A peace that forgives and says we can move forward from this. And if you have a worried heart, he can give you a confident heart. His peace is confident. You can trust him. He provides that peace in every situation. So Jesus is born into the world to be the Prince of Peace. Now, what's that look like? Let's play this out a little bit. What would that look like? Well, Jesus is, let's fast forward to now Jesus, 30 years after he's born. Now he's an adult, and he's working with his disciples, and he's called people to follow him, and now he's saying, my kingdom has come, and he's going to village and town to town, and he's preaching and teaching and healing, and he's doing all these things, and he's collected up his disciples, and he's doing the work that he's been called to do, is help people know that he is the way and the kingdom is here. And so he's going from village to village, and a lot of times there'd be a huge crowd that would come, and he would do work and ministry there, and then he would move on to the next one. Well, in throughout the Gospels, there's a story in Mark chapter 4 where he's just done doing a ton of ministry and talking and speaking to a bunch of people. Now he's ready to go to the next place. Well, the next place he had to get to is by boat. So imagine an entire day of ministry. He's completely wiped out. He's been with people all day long, gets in the boat. All his disciples get in these boats, and they go and they cross this massive lake. Chapter 4 of Mark says this. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side. Let's get out of here and move on to a new area. And so they get into the boat and they take off. And let's take a look at the rest of the story here. It says, soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. So they're in the middle of this lake, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, these storms come up, and the next thing you know, waves, big waves. Now, these are just like wooden fishing boats, guys. This isn't like big ships and yachts or anything. So it doesn't take much to create a little bit of havoc if the waves are big and you're in a homemade wooden fishing boat that's not very deep. And so the waves come up, and now the water is pouring in. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up, and they were shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Now there's chaos. They think they're drowning. They think this is it. It's all over. They look back. Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. He's tired. He's weary. He's resting. His head is on a cushion, and they're yelling at him, Jesus, wake up. We're drowning. Goes on to say this. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly, the wind stops, and there was a what? There was a great calm. A great calm. You see, the disciples didn't know it, but they were living in the story that I'm helping you understand today at Christmas, that born into the world is the Prince of Peace. And in the middle of their boat, where waves are coming in and water's filling it up, they didn't even know that the Prince of Peace was right next to them. They got scared. They got mad. Even Jesus says, don't you have any faith here? They got skeptical. They got doubtful. They've got frustrated. All of these things were happening. And this particular story helps us understand what it looks like to have peace with God and the peace of God. Because peace with God, at that moment, they had no peace with Jesus. They were mad at him. They were questioning him. Where is he? He doesn't care about us. Why is he asleep? Why is he looking the other way? Why doesn't he care about my needs right now? Their relationship with Jesus in that very moment was tense. They're shouting at him, wake up, we're going down. And the crazy thing is, Jesus wasn't missing the storm. He was right in the boat with them. He was with them all the time, but they simply doubted. They doubted that he cared. See, when we don't have peace with God, and we don't have that connection with God, and we feel like God is far away and bad things happen, a lot of times we just push him even further. A lot of times we think, well, God's not in my life and he doesn't care about me. If you don't have peace with God, the next thing you know is you're yelling at God for all the bad things happening in your life. And he might be right there with you, but you just keep pressing him away and going, no, why don't you care? Because you don't have peace with God. Or what about the peace of God? Peace of God is in the midst of a storm, you know it's going to be okay. Now, these guys didn't have peace of God either in this moment. They're screaming, we're going down. We're going down. Grab the buckets. Get up. Do something, Jesus. Like, help us scoop the water. Because they didn't have peace about the situation. Have you ever been in life and you're kind of telling yourself, I think I'm drowning. I think I'm drowning in debt. I think I'm drowning in this relationship. I think we're sinking. I don't think this is going well. I think the boat of life just keeps getting filled up with more and more water, and it's just going to be a matter of time until we sink, and we can't rescue this. We can't restore this relationship. I'm not going to get through this situation or this season. And the next thing you know, you have no peace of God because you've allowed everything around you to get into your life. You've let it just collect inside and inside and inside, and you filled your life up with a bunch of stress and anxiety and issues. Interesting thing about boats is this, is that boats don't sink because of the water around them. Boats sink because of the water that gets in them. And I want us to comprehend this today. When you have the peace of God, he protects you. He protects you from allowing the junk to fill you up. Remember, if the peace rules your heart, it protects your heart from the stress and the anxiety. Christ can come in and surround your heart, surround you and protect you so you don't feel like you're sinking all the time. But if peace doesn't rule your heart, then fear, anxiety, and stress will. And then it gets inside. And if it gets inside, the boat begins to sink. It's not the pressures of the world outside of your life. It's the pressures that you've allowed to creep inside. And if Jesus rules your heart, then the Prince of Peace rules your heart. And if the Prince of Peace rules our heart, he protects us from the waters. He stands up inside of your life and he says, peace, be still, silence the storm. Now the storm around you might be happening. Your family might be a mess, work might be a mess, finances might be a mess. But he can say peace, and inside of you, the next thing you know, in the midst of chaos, there's a calm that can only come through Jesus. Don't let what's happening around you get inside of you. You know, as this is the first holiday season that without my folks, and so I had a lot of very kind people reaching out around Thanksgiving, thinking about you, praying for you, stuff like that. And to be honest, I was really leery heading into Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving, but then I was thinking about Thanksgiving without my mom and Thanksgiving without my dad. And literally my entire life, we'd had Thanksgiving at my parents' house. And so this year could have been extremely difficult. It could have been. And to be honest, Christmas may be difficult. I'm not writing that off yet. But I can tell you, even though it was the first year without them, that in the midst of that, in the midst of the pain and the grief of loss, I mean, God provided this amazing peace. Just a peace. And family and friends. And Jesus was the Prince of Peace in my life and in our family's life, even in the midst of loss and grief, those storms of life that can't be avoided. And storms can't be avoided. They can't be avoided. So the question is, are we going to let the waters of the storms fill up our life, or are we going to be able to ask Jesus, hey, control my heart here and be the peace that I need? Can he stand up inside of us and say, be calm and help us have this inner peace? Jesus says this in John chapter 14. And I want us to just kind of land here and just think about this. This is Jesus' words. He says, I am leaving you with a gift. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and peace of heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I'm leaving you with a gift. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and peace of heart. And that's what Jesus is saying. Is the reason I came into the world is to be your comforter. He says it's a gift that the rest of the world, it's available to them, but it's missing. For us in the rooms today, it should be in our hearts. And if you're here today and we're heading fast and furious into Christmas season, and you say, I still have a lot of anxiety about issues, and I don't want to head into Christmas. I got some emotional things I got to deal with. I've family tension. I've got financial frustrations and all of that. Just hear the words of Jesus. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. He's leaving you with a gift, peace with God and the peace of God. Yeah, that song we sang, Silent Night. I want to read you the second verse. It says, Silent Night, Holy Night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glories stream of heavenly afar. Heavenly hosts sing, Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Christmas is about Christ the Savior is born. And that's the only way that you and I can have the all is calm and the heavenly peace is that Christ the Savior was born. If you're feeling anxious or stressed, if you're missing that inner peace today, peace doesn't have to be silent at Christmas. Let Jesus come in and rule your heart. Let him rule your heart. He wants to calm your soul. He wants you to be able to say, all is calm. All is calm. Why don't you stand with me? Stand with me. Close your eyes for a moment. Close your eyes. Imagine if we just received that gift of God today, that gift of peace. He's offering it. He's saying it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be stressed. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to have that inner turmoil. I want you to know that you were never created to live in constant chaos. He wants to offer you peace this Christmas season. He wants you to have that peace. If you need to invite Jesus into your heart for the very first time, just do that right now. Say, Jesus, just come into my life. Come into my life. Be the Prince of Peace of my life. Let's pray. at all locations. Let's pray.